and joining us now, and he will a few times throughout the tournament. Great to have him on board, former Socceroo, and of course, Melbourne Victory royalty, Archie Thompson. Archie, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. Apart from this bloody weather, I'm really good.
Well, you're obviously Melbourne-based, aren't you? Here we're finally 26 and sunny, so I saw it was, what, about 12 degrees there the other day in mid-November, so unlucky rubber ducky.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Typical New South Wales coming into the Victorians, right?
Well, we're all Australia tomorrow, that's for sure, Archie. And you were there in 2006 in that squad. I mean, describe what the players would be feeling 24 hours out from a World Cup opener.
Well, yeah, obviously nervous. I feel like, though, this particular squad probably hasn't had the expectations of performing probably well, because it's probably a weaker Socceroo team in terms of where players are playing, at what level. And I just feel like that squad in previous World Cup campaigns have probably been that little bit better. But then in saying that, I feel like when there's no maybe superstars, there's no egos involved, sometimes you just combine more as a group and, you know, you just work harder as a group because you maybe haven't got those superstars. But look, I'm looking forward to it. It's been already an amazing couple of days of matches. And you know, France are missing some really, really key players. So this is a real good opportunity to maybe nick something if we can.
Yeah, Archie, I guess that's probably, we've had a number of messages come through this morning around what is a realistic result tomorrow. And I think every Australian wants to see Australia win. But where do we really sit? Is it realistic to think we can get a draw?
Well, I mean, if you look at my tab app, I'll put up France obviously to win maybe and win with two goals. But I think it's just about building confidence into the rest of the games. This one was never going to be a one that was going to be easy. And if we get a result, fantastic. Like, amazing effort by the boys. But realistically, that's a tough one. I think the opportunities are to get results and maybe points to progress through to the next phase of this World Cup would be against Tunisia and Denmark. Mm. But you go to a World Cup, no game's going to be easy. Like, yeah, regardless of it, because it's tougher to get into a World Cup than actually being a World Cup. So look, it's just down to who turns up on the day, and you know that's the variables of sport. Like, you can prepare all you want and rock up, and this could be France. They've got, like, I looked at the prices of each squad. Like, it's a ridiculous gap in how much that French team is worth and ours and where they're playing. But you turn up 90 minutes, anything can happen.
Mm. Having said that, though, Arch, how do we attack this game tomorrow? Like, you know, plenty of people are saying that, you know, we've got to be able to score goals, but then does that leave us, you know, we play an attacking brand? Does that set us up to get found out on the counter-attack and all those type of things? How do you see Australia's game plan unfolding tomorrow?
Well, mate, let me just come to terms with the legend asking me a question. look, I think the game plan will let I feel like we'll be sort of sitting back. It'll be more of a defensive-minded setup, and look to maybe counter and use the speed of maybe Alecki, who knows, going to be starting, Mitch Duke, because I'm uncertain about what that starting lineup looks like, but it's a real opportunity. We're missing Boyle, which is a huge loss for us because he was probably one of our better players through the campaign and someone that's a real X factor. And unfortunately, we don't have him. But then Marco Tilio comes into the squad. I actually texted him leading into this World Cup because I knew that he missed out. And I said, mate, look, you're young enough. You're going to have plenty more World Cups in your, under your belt. But he gets the opportunity, and these are platforms for players, young players or fringe players, to take their careers to the next step. We saw it in 2006 with Sidney Cale. I mean, he's on the bench, comes on, scores two goals against Japan, suddenly starting every game, and he has an amazing career over his World Cup campaign and, for Everton in the Premier League. So these are real good opportunities for players to step up, and I think that's what they'll be drawing from too. It's like, we're on the world stage, we get to play the best of the best, and we get to do our families, ourselves, and our country proud, regardless of what it is, regardless of what the result is. We just want to see a good performance in terms of, like, the effort and, you know, the mentality. The results will take care of themselves.
Well, we need goals. That's as simple as that, don't we, Archie? I mean, you're one of the great goal scorers in Australian football history. But when you look at that squad, who do you see as the personal people that can really provide that X factor? We're going to just need to put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, yeah, that's right. I guess you need goal scorers to win games. And I just look at that. I don't know. Maybe Jamie McLaren, someone that sort of pops to mind, and he's doing amazing here in the A-League. I don't know. At that level, it's obviously a different ball game. You've got Cummings. You've got a young bloke, Quayle, that might come on and make an impact. He's a superstar, by the way. So, like, anyone can sort of be in that position to score goals. It's when you get those opportunities, you need to take them, because we won't probably have as many as what France will have. And so it's just moments, right? Moments in sport. Like, sometimes it can be a worldie, sometimes it can be a tap-in, sometimes it can be a deflection and an own goal. I'll take any of them as long as we get a result. And hopefully do, and a good performance that leads us into the rest of the campaign.
Now, Archie, you mentioned Quayle there. What is it about him that's sort of captured everyone's attention? Because, you know, he's only a young man going to his first World Cup. I can only imagine how excited he is. And he's going to play, I'm assuming, a bits and pieces role. But what is it about him that excites you and we should be all excited about?
Look, I think it's just his confidence, and he's just fearless when he comes out on the pitch. And that's, like, what I've seen with a lot of the youngsters coming in. It's like how they handle the pressure, and he does it really well. Like, and he's just there's something about him. The way he moves, his speed, his confidence to take players on. He scores goals in ridiculous angles and areas that, you know, at his age already shows maturity. And, you know, some team in the Premier League, like a Newcastle, they're doing amazing in the Premier League as we speak. But for them to obviously go, yeah, we want this guy, we want this boy, that says a lot. Like, he's just exciting. He's really, really exciting, and that's what I love about it. I love a player that's just unpredictable, and they're the most dangerous players when opposition defenses are looking at them, because you just don't know what they're going to do, and that's the amazing part of watching his development. He's only 17 and he's doing ridiculous things that, you know, I couldn't even dream about.
Archie, away from this Australian team, what are your expectations around the final? If you had to pick your two teams to make the final now, who would they be? And there's also been a stack of talk about the beef with Ronaldo and Man United. What do you think we can expect from him throughout this World Cup campaign?
Well, look, he's a goat. Like, you know, him and Messi are superstars. I don't like the way, obviously, that he's been portrayed. I don't think he really helped himself with an interview that he's done. But look, when the guy's performed at a level and is I don't know how to really put him in. He's like a god, really, in terms of what he's done for the sport, what he's done for every club that he's been at, and especially to come back and maybe give back to the Manchester United fans. And I just thought that there was a lot of disrespect. But guys, you know, sport, like, at the end of the day, it really is a business. And, you know, once you're not performing, they'll find someone else just as quick. And that's just sport. And sometimes you don't get the accolades of maybe what you feel like you deserve. But that guy's been incredible. Him and Messi have lifted the sport to another level. There needs to be some kind of respect there. And I just don't think it's been shown at Manchester United. Hopefully has an amazing World Cup. And, man, I would like Brazil to win. Like, Brazil, for me, is the mecca of football. And I've enjoyed watching them play before when I could walk. And I just feel like that they've got the quality and just superpower all over the place. And my little dark horse would have to be my country, Serbia, where my partner's from. So, man, I've kind of got a few places. And obviously the Socceroos.
What about England, Arch? I mean, they started this campaign off this morning really well, 6-2 against Iran, and they should finish on top in their group quite easily, I would think. But how do you see them progressing?
Oh, guys, you know the English. They come into every World Cup year and they're already singing that song. I don't know what it is. We're coming home, or we're taking it home. and those songs seem to really just die out towards the end of the campaign because they don't necessarily perform well. But I have to say that their performance last night, okay, the Iranian team wasn't fantastic. Their squad and their depth and their quality that they have, they can really, really push it. And I tell you what, if they do, there's going to be a few loud Englishmen around my area that are going to be giving me some sticks. So I feel like they can go really far, though.
I guess just trying to find some positives or points of difference. So, you know, back in 2006 in Kaiserslautern, that was very hot, wasn't it, at the time? We sort of saw Japan wilt at the end of that game, which you were there to witness, obviously, Archie, in that squad. And, you know, you look at Qatar, obviously, warm conditions. People say maybe that's a disadvantage for the European sides and could potentially that be telling for them late in the game tomorrow morning, the French. But I guess the problem is we haven't had that much time together, have we, coming into this World Cup due to the fact that everyone's seasons have started?
Yeah, well, look, I don't know. I thought that would be the case when I watched that Ecuadorian game and Qatar, because Qatar have had months preparation together, and they're a good team. They're a really, really good team and good football nation. And our man Timmy Cahill's doing amazing stuff there at Aspire Academy, which a lot of the stuff comes out of. And they were terrible. And, you know, you have teams that are obviously had just, what, 2 or 3 weeks together, and maybe players aren't really in that, like, 100% leading in when you've got such a short turnaround from your domestic league. But that certainly hampers things. But I don't know. I just reckon the squads are well prepared. Temperature always plays a factor. I know I wouldn't be able to cope. I know that the stadiums are air-conditioned, a few of them, so that I don't think that'll be a problem. But it might be telling sort of with a lot of those European countries because they're not used to that heat.
Let's just dream of a huge upset, Archie. Thanks so much, mate. Enjoy the match, and we'll chat throughout the tournament. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, lad.